Today's Shi'ur is Masech Yivam is Daf Kuvav. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Kuvav Amud Aleph. Begins the Gemara Tan Rabbanan Chalitza Mutas, a chalitza that was done by mistake, Kshera. Ask the Gemara immediately, the Brice immediately, Ezu Chalitza Mutas, what is the definition of a chalitza mutas? Says the Gemara Amar Eshlokish, I'm like chalitz, if they tell the Yavim that by doing chalitza, b'kachat the kainza, which of course is just the opposite of the truth. The truth is that chalitza is what separates the yavam from the yavama. But obviously this man is not aware of that. And they tell him that through doing chalitza, you will be able to marry your yavama. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, that's what he considers Reish Lakish as a situation of chalitza matas. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, Anishaina bein niskaven hu v'loin niskaven hi. I have learned that if he had kavana to do chalitza, but she didn't have kavana, or bein niskaven hi v'loin niskaven hu, or whether she had kavana he didn't have kavana, chilotza psula. I hold that the halacha is that it's not a valid chalitza. Achi snav shtayim kachad, until they both have kavana. So we see. That Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is that both parties to the chalitza have to have kavana. But Amrit, and you want to suggest that if somebody was under the misimpression that by making chalitza, that's how he marries the yavama, the halacha should be chalitza sekshera. So Rabbi Yochanan here teaches us a halacha. Rabbi Yochanan teaches us a halacha that to be considered a valid chalitza, we have to have kavana. And the achronim discuss what type of kavana is required that it should be considered a valid chalitza, as Rabbi Yochanan just said it. The Yashu Shakov says that one has to have kavana to fulfill the mitzvah of chalitza. He compares it just like when one listens to the shofar from Rosh Hashanah. He's not mekayim the mitzvah of tekiyah shofar unless he has kavana to be mekayim the mitzvah. So too over here, you have to have kavana to fulfill the mitzvah. Rashi, many achronim seem to say that you don't have to have such a significant kavana, but as long as you have kavana to break the zika, to do a kinyan, that she could be able to no longer be bound with the zika to the yavam, that is adequate. The Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, says that if somebody does chalitza in a way that he doesn't fulfill the mitzvah, the chalitza is not a valid chalitza. So it seems that the purpose these Rishonim hold of the chalitza is to break the zika, and you only could break the zika if it's done properly. The Chacham Tzvi has a different approach. His approach is that there has to be a kavana of a kinyan. He says it doesn't necessarily to have a kavanas mitzvah, but she has to have a kavana to do a kinyan that she is, so to speak, coming back into her own, and she no longer is bound. Others say that the kavana mean, what is meant over here with kavana is that she should be able to be entitled to get a ksuba. We know that a woman until she passed the chalitza is not entitled to the ksuba. So the kavana to have kinyan of get a ksuba is what's required. Actually, I saw that there are those that want to suggest that this machloikis that we're quoting now, what is necessary to be an effective chalitza, may be connected to another issue that we've spoken about previously in our shiurim. And that is, if the kavana, and that is chalitza a mitzvah or not? Those that say that you have to have kavana to fulfill the mitzvah are of the opinion that chalitza is a mitzvah. And if chalitza is a mitzvah, so as we said, Yashur Shakov says that you have to have kavana to fulfill the mitzvah. And how do you have kavana to fulfill the mitzvah? You have kavana to fulfill the mitzvah through having that kavana to do the mitzvah. But if on the other hand, you hold that chalitza is not a mitzvah, then you don't have to have kavana for the mitzvah. All you have to have kavana is the different pshatim that we just suggested. Ella, says the Gemara, what is the definition of a chalitza mutas, says Rabbi Yochanan? Kol she'omrim lo yavim. Kol she'omrim lo, as we tell the yavim, chaloitzlo, amnasha titloch musaimzos, we tell him that the chalitza will be valid if he says, the yavim says, I'm only willing to do the chalitza if she pays me a certain amount. And at the end, she doesn't fulfill that obligation, the chalitza is still kosher. Because even though throughout halacha we often discuss that a tanai is valid, here a tanai will not be valid. And the reason why a tanai over here explained all the rishonim is not valid, because all of the halachas of tanayim are learned from Bnei Gadim Bnei Ruvain. We recall the episode where the Bnei Gadim Bnei Ruvain did not want to get their share in Eretz Yisrael. They wanted to get their share in the Eiver HaYarden. And Moshe Rabbeinu made with them a deal. He said, if you'll go to Eretz Yisrael to be part of the battle, then you will get your share in Eiver HaYarden. And if not, not. Now the way, and all Hilchos Tanoim are learned from Bnei Gadim Bnei Ruvain. As we just said, the Tanai has to be a Tanai Kafel. It has to go in both directions. And another halacha we learn from there is that the Tanai has to be a Tanai that could be done, that the act has to be something that could be done through a Shliach. If we think about the episode of the Bnei Gadim Bnei Ruvain, in the situation of Bnei Gadim Bnei Ruvain, they did not have to go themselves. They could have had Shlichim go into Eretz Yisrael on their behalf. Since that's a situation that's something that can be done through a Shliach, the halacha is that a Tanai is only valid by something that can be done through a Shliach. But the halacha, of course, by Chalitza is that that the Chalitza has to be done by the Yavam and the Yavam himself. Since the Chalitza have to be done by the Yavam and Yavam herself, therefore the halacha is that the Tanai that was made is not a Tanai that has to be fulfilled. Actually, I saw that there was once a tremendous controversy where there were women who were impossible for them or difficult for them to participate themselves in the Yibum. And they wanted to appoint Shlichim to do the Yibum on their behalf. And there were those that said that would be a valid chalitza. It could be that even chalitza was done in that fashion. And they said that when our Gemara says that chalitza cannot be done through a shliach, they said that means that the yavam cannot appoint a shliach. But the yavama can appoint a shliach. This was a very serious halachic debate. And all the Gedolei Yisrael came out very firmly that a chalitza cannot be performed only in a situation where the Yavam and Yavama, as is quite clear from our Gemara, participate in the chalitza. Tanya Nami Hochin says the Gemara, so we learned in a Braisa, chalitza mutas kshera, veza chalitza mutas. What's the definition of a chalitza mutas? Says the Gemara, kol she'omrim lo chamnoitz amasha etan loch mesayim zos. If he says, the Yavam says to the Yavama, I'm prepared to do chalitza on the condition that you give me Masaimzes, and then even if she doesn't end up giving the money, the chalitza is considered a valid chalitza. In fact, says the Braisa, Maisa Bishachas, Shanaflo, Lufnei Yavam, Shein Hoganlo. There was a situation where a Yavama fell to Yibam, to a Yavam, which was totally inappropriate for her to marry him. Vamaloi, but he was an unlearned individual. So what Bezdin said to him was, the question came to Rechia, and the halach is that it was considered a kosher chalitza. Here, as we just said, that the halacha is that a tanai is only valid in a situation where you could do it, where you could appoint a shliach. Where a shliach cannot be appointed, a tanai is not valid. So some soifer, the shal's chuvus some soifer, Evan Ezer, Chelik Bey Simon Tzadik discusses a situation. We know that in Chutz Laretz, there's a question what to do regarding sitting in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Because if Shmini Atzeres is really still part of Sukkot, so we have to sit in the sukkah. If Shmini Atzeres, however, is not part of Sukkot, then we don't have to sit in the sukkah. And the question was, what do we do with Chutz Laretz? So the Gemara says, Yesuvi Yesvinan, we sit in the sukkah, Brucha Lamevachinan, but we don't make a bracha. And what do? We make a tanai. We say, if today is still Sukkot, and we're obligated to sitting in the sukkah, so we're sitting in the sukkah. And to say, if it's not Sukkot, then I'm not sitting in the sukkah, l'shem sukkah. And the same, he says, is what people who wear two pairs of tefillin. And somebody who wears two pairs of tefillin, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, because he's not confident which is the proper way to make the tefillin, makes the same tonight. But ask the Chassam Sofer, we just said that in order for tonight to be effective, it has to be a situation where we could appoint the shliach. We can't appoint the shliach to sit on our behalf in the sukkah. We can't appoint the shliach to ask the Chassam Sofer to do a tefillin on our behalf. So why would the tonight be effective? So he said. So he answers that when something is a mitzvah that we're obligated to perform, there a tanai helps. Here, where it's not a mitzvah that we're obligated to fulfill, when it's not a mitzvah that we're obligated to fulfill, and it's not a mitzvah that can be done by a shliach, that's where a tanai is not effective. It says the Ma'arud Sol Kemen Rechiyah Bar Abba. There was a Yavam that came to Rechiyah Bar Abba, and he wanted to force his Yavama to agree to Yibam. Amalei, Biti Amoidi. So Rechiyah said to this woman, please participate in the Yibam. Amalei, so she said to Rechiyah, Ema Yeshiva, Amalei Ema, the mother of this woman said to her, Yeshiva Suzui Madasab. So the Pashup Shat, what the Gemara means to say, is that she would be better, that the mother said to the Terchia, my daughter would be much better off not having chalitza from this man. Yeshivasa, staying without him, what's best for her is a midasa, not to marry him. The Rashi gives another pshat. Rashi says that the mother said to Terchia, this man is not really interested in marrying her. What he's interested in doing is marrying her because, as we've learned many times, the Yavam who does Yibam with his Yavama gets the entire Yerusha of his brother. And she said all he's really interested in is in her money. And the proof is that she is a woman that unfortunately doesn't have the ability to walk. No man would want to marry such a woman. The only reason he wants to marry her is that he should be able to get his hands on his money. So she said, Yeshivasa, the fact that she only could sit, the fact that she's unable to walk, Zui Midasa, that is the proof that she doesn't want to do the Yibam for sincere reason. Amrullah. So Yadatle, so Rechiyah asked her, do you know this individual? Amrullah in. And she said, as we just learned, he saw that she has money. And his intent is to get his hands on her money. So the Rechiyah said to the Yavama, is this indeed that you're not satisfied to have Yibam? So Rechiyah said to the Yavam, do chalitza. Again, obviously, he was a person who didn't know halacha, and he thought that's the way he could end up marrying her. The bas the chalitza, after he did the chalitza, assuming that this would be the first step in his being able to successfully marry her, amle hashtem minach ifsalach. The halacha is that now the chalitza is not a valid chalitza. And even if the chalitza is not a perfect chalitza, explain all the Rishonim, it's enough of a chalitza that Yibum is no longer here an option. And now, he said to her, chalitza chalitza ma'al yisa, now you have to do a proper chalitza, keicha derishta la'alma, in order that she should not be stuck because she had this chalitza, which is not a valid chalitza, because the chalitza was done under false impression, but it's enough of a chalitza that she should no longer be able to have yibum. So therefore, he said, not doing chalitza would be totally inappropriate. Says the Gemara, Bas Chamua D'Rapapa, the daughter of the father-in-law of Rapapa. In other words, Rapapa's wife's sister. Naflof Nayibim L'Sheina Hagunla. She felt even to a person that it was inappropriate that she should have to marry this man. Asla Kameh Dabai, she came to Abaya. Amalei, so the Yavam wanted to do Yibam, and Abai said to him, Chaloitzla, do Chalitza B'kach Ata Kainza. Amalei Rapapa, so that's why Abai thought he'll be able to get this woman released from this Yavam. Amalei Rapapa, so Rapapa said to Abai, Le'sovel Amar, do you not agree, Lahad Amar Rabbi Yochanan, that what Rabbi Yochanan said, that if chalitza was done without the proper kavana, as we began today's shir, the chalitza is not a valid chalitza? Said, so Abai said to Abai, to Rapapa, so if that's the case, Elheicha Emelei, what should I do to help this woman be released from the Zika? Amalei, so Rapapa said to him, what you should do is, you should tell this Yavam, chalitza, give her a chalitza on the condition that she'll pay you 200 zuz after the chalitza. The boss of the chalitza, and then he'll agree to do the chalitza because all he's trying to do is get his hands on her money. Says the Marad, the boss of the chalitza, after he actually did the chalitza, Amalei Zivhavle. So Abai said to her father, now you have to pay the $200 that you would have obligated yourself. Amalei, so her papa said, what she could say is, Meshata Nibach Avdalei, that I only promised you this money because I was under duress. And since I didn't promise you this money only because I was under duress, I'm not obligated to pay it to you. And the Gemara tells us the source for this halacha. Mila Tanya, does the Braisa not teach us? If somebody's trying to escape from prison, and there was a boat right in front of him, and the escapee said to the person who was running this boat, take a dinner, which is an exorbitant amount, which is not the amount paid to have a person go over in a boat. Ainloi, says the Gemara, what he's entitled to is Ella Scharai. She said that I'm giving you extra, but she didn't mean to give him extra. She was just under duress. The person here who was escaping was under duress. Alma, so we see halachically it's acceptable to say, Meshata Nibach, I really didn't intend to give you this money. I just had no other option. Hachinami, the same thing. The woman who ran away, the woman who's promised this money for the chalitza, can halachically say, I never had the intention to give you this money. I only said it because I had no choice. Of course, there are many conditions when that we could say the concept of Meshati Nibach. The halacha is that if this person has a job and because of this escapee or whoever's commitment to the money, he would lose what he could have earned that hour. So whatever he earns that hour, that's the amount I have to pay because that's what he could have earned that hour. Even if the halacha, even if the situation is that the cost for going on this boat is much less, the Paiskim say that it's not measured by the amount that is the normal cost. The way we measure it is we measure it by the amount that this person lost by agreeing to do this versus he could have stayed home. There are those that say, so that's the Pasha Pshat, and they say that you have to pay either the amount that's normally the cost for this person doing this for you, or the amount that you caused him to lose by him doing this for you instead of doing what he normally would do. There are, however, those that suggest that you don't have to pay him at all, because here there was a mitzvah involved, the mitzvah of helping this person apparently run away from jail that he was being incarcerated for an improper reason. If that's the case, then now this person was supposed to be doing a mitzvah, help you get out of this situation. If that's the case, there could be an argument that this was a mitzvah. And for a mitzvah, one cannot demand payment. Even though one cannot demand payment for a mitzvah, however, there are those that suggest he could demand the Dmei Batala, and therefore you would maybe have to pay the Dmei Batala. Amalei, so when Abaye Sudra Papa was able to figure out what to do here, so he says, Amalei Avuchecha, so he realized that Rapapa is a very, very big Talmud Chacham. And he wanted to understand, how did Rapapa become such a big Talmud Chacham? Amalei, so Abaye asked Rapapa, Avuchecha, Where's your father? Amalei. So Rapapa said, Bamasa. He lives in town. Then Abaye asked Rapapa, Imachecha, where exactly is your mother? Amalei, Bamasach. Also, he said, she lives in town. What was meant to say is, Abaye meant to understand that since Rapapa lived with his parents, and his parents were great people, and his parents supported him, so he was able to learn Torah without any disturbance. And because he was able to learn Torah without any interruption, that's why he developed into the great Talmud Chacham that he was. Yav Abaye, Einei V'shriva. So Abaye thought about this, and that's why they died. So as the Mefarshim explained, Abaye, we know, was a Yosem. In fact, the name of Abaye stands for Asher Becha Yerucham Yosem. Abaye was the paradigm of a Yosem. And he said to Rapapa, if I would have had such great circumstances, I could have even been a greater Talmud Chacham. And because of that, Rapapa's parents passed away. What does this mean? So I saw that the Mefarshim explained that what happened was they passed away because of an Ayin Hara. And how do we understand this? The way to understand this is that Ayin Hara has the ability to do what it does, even if it's not the intention of the person who's causing the Ayin Hara to do any harm. Certainly, it was not the intention, Chas V'Shalom, of Abaye to cause any harm to Rapapa's parents. But the power of the Ayin Hara is that even without any intention, it could cause the ill effects of an Ayin Hara. Tana Rabbanan, says the Gemara, we learned in the Braisa, Chalitza Matas, if the Chalitza was done with the condition that the Yavam is going to give a certain amount of money to the Yavam, even if at the end she doesn't give the money, the halacha is kshera. The chalitza is a kosher chalitza. Get matah. If somebody gave a get on the condition, on certain condition, and the condition wasn't fulfilled, the halacha is that the get is posel. Chalitza mitzas, that if chalitza was done under duress, the bezdin forced that chalitza should be done, psula. Get musa, but when a get was done under duress, it's kosher. Ask the Gemara. Hey chidami, what does the Braisa mean when it says that the get was done under duress, that it's kosher, and when the chalitza was done that way, it's not kosher? Idama roitzani, if the person who was forced into the chalitza ultimately agreed to do the chalitza, so then the halacha should be chalitza nami, then the chalitza should be a kosher chalitza. V'loyama roitzani, if he never agreed, Why get namiloi? Why would the get be considered a valid get? Because the Torah, when it speaks about a husband giving a divorce to his wife, says v'nosna miyada, that he has to give it on his free will. Says the Gemara, hachikam. This is the way to understand the Braisa. Chalitza mitas, loylam kosher. A chalitza that's done with a tanai, even if the tanai was not fulfilled, that the chalitza is a valid chalitza, as we've been discussing in our shir, because the halacha is that there is no room for tanoim by chalitza, because chalitza is not an act that could be done through a shliach. Get muta loylam posel. Tanayim can be given through a get, because a person could use a shliach to deliver the get. Since a person could use a shliach to give the get, that's why get is a subject that could be subject to Hilchos Tanayim. And therefore, if the Tanayim was not fulfilled, the get is not considered a valid get. Chalitza mu'asas v'get mu'sa. Zimnan kashav zimnan pasal. Sometimes it's kashav and sometimes it's pasal. Hadam aroitzani. If after Bezdin forced him to do the get or give the chalitza, he agrees, in a situation where he doesn't agree, then it's possible. Says the Gemara, the Tanya, but the question that's obvious in this Gemara is how can we consider if he was forced into doing the get or forced into doing the chalitza, and then he says, roitzani, why would that be considered valid? He's only doing it under duress, says the Gemara. The pasuk says, "Im oyla kabonim and abaka zochet tamim yakrivenu a pesach oyl ma'ad Yaakov oisay l'tzoyna Hashem." Yaakov oisay, says the Gemara. Says the Brisa, what does Yaakov oisay mean? It says yakrivenu a pesach oyl ma'ad. Why does the pasuk have to repeat the words Yaakov oisay? Tells us the Gemara melamet shekayfen oisay. We force him to bring it. So we were thinking a carbon could be brought completely against the will of the person who's bringing in the carbon. He has to do it willingly. What does that mean? We force him to do it until he accepts. Says the Rabbi, so too, Bezdin, under the right circumstance, under proper circumstances, could say, this man must divorce his wife, and Kaifen I say, until he says, Roitzani. And here, of course, we have to quote the famous Rambam. The Rambam says, what does it mean, Kaifen I say, Achiyam Roitzani? He says, every Jew really wants to do the proper thing. Just the Yetzer Hara gets in the way. What the Kaifen I say accomplishes is what the person really wants to do comes out. And that the person says roitzani, and the roitzani is what the person really wanted. And that's what the Gemara means here. Kaitzen I say, the person says that this is what I want to do, and by saying this is what I want to do, we recognize and realize what he's saying is actually the truth, because the Jew does want to do what the halacha requires him to do. But of course, one has to recognize that it's not that anybody could force a person to say, it's only in a situation where Bezdin sees that it's appropriate that the person should have to give a get. And under those circumstances, the halach is, because this is really the subject of machloikis between the nesivus and the ktsois. The Nesivus and the Ktsois have a question if somebody doesn't want to fulfill a mitzvah and we force him to fulfill the mitzvah. Will that be a situation where the mitzvah is considered having been performed? The person only did the mitzvah because he was forced into doing the mitzvah. Is that considered the proper performance of a mitzvah? The Nesivus says, yes, because as we just said, as long as we force him and the person does it, we know that, as perhaps we'll have to add what the Rambam says, that's a proof that the person truly wanted to do this, the Yetzer Hara got into the way. The Ktsois disagrees. The Ktsois says, only in a case like we just mentioned, where it's a Bezdin, paskening, that this person is supposed to give the get, that's where we say, Koifen I say, but under all other circumstances, we can't just force a person to just say that I forced him to do it and it's considered as if he did it properly. In fact, I saw that there are those that suggest that this is the reason why particularly Chassidim have the minig that before they do a mitzvah, they say L'shem Yichud. What's the purpose of saying L'shem Yichud before they do a mitzvah? Because there's a real concern that as the person is fulfilling the mitzvah, is he really fulfilling the mitzvah properly? One cannot know if the person is really fulfilling it properly. However, if the person says explicitly, L'shem Yichud, that I want to do the mitzvah, and I want to do the mitzvah properly, that is an indication that he's doing the mitzvah properly. Amrava, Amrav Schreira, Amrav Huna. Cholzen, Apisha Mekirin. The Loch is Chalitza, that means a couple comes to Besdin, and they say that they have to do Chalitza. The Loch is that Chalitza can be performed, even though we don't know that this Yavam and Yavama are really people that are supposed to have Chalitza. And similarly, Mamanim, we've learned so many times in our Masechta that if a Ketana was married off by a father when by a mother or brothers, so that Kedushin is a Kedusha Derabbanan. And since it's a Kedusha Derabbanan, the girl could end the marriage as long as she's not yet a Gedoyla, by saying that she doesn't want to remain with this husband. And the halacha is, if a couple comes into Beis Din and she says that I got married as a ketana, even though we don't know this couple, we do it api shem makirin, even though we don't know the situation. Lefikach ein kaisrin get chalitza. The halacha is that after chalitza is performed, the Beis Din writes a document that the chalitza was performed. Says the Gemara, we don't write such a get for a woman and a man that we don't know really deserve chalitza. Elm came makirin. We're going to do the chalitza, but we won't do the chalitza for them. We won't write them the shtar unless we're convinced that they deserve the shtar. Then kaisu get miyin, and we can't write the get miyin. Elm ke makirin. So as I saw, the mefarshim explain. So why do we do it? We do it because the yavama could claim, well, if we won't do chalitza today, the yavam may go away, and I won't be able to get a chalitza. The ketana could say, I only have a time period that I could do chalitza until I become a nara, until I'm 12 years old. So there's a time pressure. So Beis Din will perform the chalitza, but they won't, and Beis Din will perform the miyun, but they won't write a shtar, chashinen, because we're concerned that this people will take this document, even though they're not really maybe deserving of the document. To a Beis Din that won't realize that just because there's a document written, that they won't realize that they have to verify that everything was done properly. And maybe what happened was that this Yavama is looking to get out of the Zika with her Yavam. So what she does is, she takes a man who's not the Yavam at all, and comes to Beis Din and tells Beis Din, this is my Yavam. Or this girl who's interested in ending the marriage that maybe was the Kedusha Deraisa comes to Beis Din and says, this is my husband. And it's all not true. So Beis Din doesn't write the document unless they know that everything is 100% accurate. Rava the Deoma, but Rava says, Ein Chaitzen, not that we perform it, just don't give a document. We don't do it at all. Ein cholzen el mekirin, ve'memanim el mekirim. Lefikach, says the Gemara, kaisrim gam chalitza abish ein mekirim. Since Beis Din doesn't do a chalitza unless they know the couple, kaisrim get chalitza abish ein mekirim. They can write the get even though Edom don't know, because they can rely that the Beis Din would have never performed the chalitza unless they knew that this was truly a yavam and yavavim. Kaisrim get me and abish ein mekirim. Because like Chashan Beis Din Toyin, Beis Din would have never have performed this event had not they been sure that this was a case that Chalitza or Min should be performed. Says the Mishnah Mitzvah Chalitza. What is the Mitzvah Chalitza? How is Chalitza performed? Bahu v'yivim to Beis Din. They come to Beis Din. V'emissina ayetzai gernesla. And Beis Din gives them advice which is appropriate. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'kar lo yiziknei eira v'dibra alav. In other words, Beis Din is supposed to examine, is this a couple that are better off getting married or getting better off to have chalitza? In other words, even though the Torah, as we've spoken many times, prefers, according to the Rabbanon, Yibum over Chalitza, that doesn't mean that that's what should be done. We should be done, what should be done is what's appropriate, what should be done is what's appropriate for this couple. He Ameris Me'en Yob, and so once there's an agreement that we should have a Chalitza, of course, the Bahag says that let's say Bezdin gave them advice that they should have chalitza, not yibum. But the yavam still insists to do yibum. So the Bahag says no, that as we discussed earlier in our shir, Bezdin could force them to have chalitza. The Rush disagrees. If he insists on doing yibum, Bezdin has to agree to allow him to do yibum. So now we begin the procedure. And says the Mishnah, everything should be done b'loshen hakodesh. After they said these psukim, says the Gemara, she should take the shoe off his foot, the yark of the fun off, and she should expel saliva in front of him. And says the Mishnah, the saliva she's expelling has to be roi kanir leyonim. The saliva has to be visible to the yonim as it exits her mouth. Vons of Amra, kocha yasul ish, asher loyivnes beis achiv. All of the dayonim have to see her spitting and the spit going out of her mouth till in front of the yavam, and then she makes this declaration. At kan hayimakrim, that's all the words that Bezdin read along or say along with the yavama. Ukshikri rev hukinus tachas olav kvar itam. There was once a situation where chalitza took place under this tree in Kfar Itam. The Gama called a parsha, and as they finished the whole parsha, they finished the whole parsha. The Nikra Shema Bisa Beis Chalitza Noal. And once he did that, says the Gemara, it became the minig all bati dinim liyisgaimer called a parsha. The Nikra Shema Bisrael Beis Chalitza Noal. Says the Gemara mitzvah v'dayonim. It's the mitzvah that the dayonim should say this three times. For like mitzvah talmidim, it is a mitzvah on those that are standing there observing the chalitza to say it. Where it says the Gemara of Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a mitzvah kala oimim sham. The mitzvah and all the people who are there loim chanutzal now. Amar Yehuda, mitzvah chalitza. How is the chalitza performed? Kairi. First, the Yavam says the psukim that we learned she's supposed to say, the kire, and then the Yavam says the psukim that he's supposed to say, the chaletzes, the rekakas, the kara, and then she says kochias. As the Gemara, what did Rabbi Yehuda just tell us that we didn't learn in the Mishnah? My kamash malon, asked the Gemara, misnisenhi. Everything he just said is explicit in our Mishnah. Answers the Gemara, ha kamash malon, that what he's trying to teach us, that mitzvah hachi. That the mitzvah l'chatchila is this the way it should be done in this order. However, i'apich, if she did the eureka before the chalitza, less lamba, it's still considered a valid chalitza. And tayinami hachi, and indeed we learn in a brisa, ben shegdim chalitza l'rikika, or ben shegdim rikika l'chalitza, the halacha is the halacha is that it's satisfactory. And not only is it satisfactory, but it seems that the Rishonim say it should not be done over to do it the right way. Amar Bai, Haida Makri Get Chalitza. The Dayan who is reading along the words of the Chalitza, Lelikra Lelida, should not say to her the Pasuk of Me'en Yavim L'Hakim Elch Hashem L'Yisrael Le'ovi Yavmi. He should make sure that the loy is not as isolated. He should not say loy lechudei and avmei yechudei, because that would mean avyavmi. That if she doesn't put the loy avmei yavmi all together, it sounds like actually avyavmi. They want to do yibam, which of course is just the opposite of what he really wants. Ella, the way it should be read with one phrase, loy avyavmi. One phrase where there's no room for misunderstanding. Similarly, says the Braisa, for the day, when the psukim that he says in Chalitza said, he says, L'chafatzi l'kachti, she said, Loi l'chudei v'chafatzi l'chudei. Again, make sure that the loy is not separated from the chafatzti, because if that would be the case, it would sound l'chafatzti l'kachta, that he actually does want to marry her, which is the opposite of what he really wants. Ella loy chafatzti l'kachta. Says the Gemara of Rava Amar of Suke Milsehi. Even if he doesn't say it in one phrase, it doesn't make a difference, because we just look at it as he took a pause in the middle of his phrase. And when he took if somebody takes a pause in the middle of a phrase, less lumbar, halachically, it's not considered invalid. Says the Gemara, Rav Ashi Ashkel Rav Kahana the Mitztara Makrila Avayami, that he was being very careful that the Yavama should say the words Avayavmi as one pasuk. Amalei Lesavala Malaha de Rava. Don't you agree with Rava just taught us? That Rava just taught us that even if it's not said as one pasuk, it's still acceptable. Amalei May de Rava Belay Avayavmi. Even though Rava took a lenient approach regarding the words l'chafasti l'kachta, and he said that if the Yavam stopped between the words loy and chafasti l'kachti, we don't make him do it over. We just say that he just took a pause. By the Yavama, he says that saying loy avmavmi is one phrase is absolutely critical. Why? Because she reads a whole pasuk. As we said, me'ein yavim l'hokm okav shem Yisrael loy. If we take the loy with the first part of the pasuk, then it seems to indicate that she's saying he does want to do yibum. And because that's where there's a bigger room for mistake, even though Rava holds that people do pause while they're speaking, but if there's more room for misinterpretation and misunderstanding, even Rava will be machmer. Amar Rabbi Haiman the kasuk git chalitza. The person who writes, as we spoke earlier in our shir, after the chalitza is performed, they wrote a document testifying that there was a chalitza. So it says by Haiman the kasuk git chalitza look the chacha. This is the nusach that it should say. Akrina l'dada mimein yavmi ad ava yavmi. She read all the psukim that she's supposed to say. The queen of the day v'loy ad l'kachta. The king of the day v'kach v'ad chaloy tzolal. That the document says all of the that everything that was supposed to be done was done. It says the Gemara Masutra Masat of a kusul kula parsha. The halacha is that when somebody writes three or four words of the Torah, you have to write it. If you're writing that, you have to underline the word sirtut. Says the Gemara, Mazut Mesat v'kosel kula parsha. When he would write a get chalitza, he would write the entire parsha, have it underlined. Maskla Mazutra, v'loy nitan lechtoiv. The loch is that you're not allowed to write a whole parsha on the Torah on a klaf. V'chasa, kavasei demchizda. But says the Gemara, the loch is kuzutra, that we are allowed to do that. Because even though if we're not supposed to write a words from the Torah, just one parsha separate. But if we're doing it for a purpose, as we are in our Gemara, then the halacha is that you can write it that way. Amar Abaya, Rokaka, if the woman expelled the saliva, the kaltasar ruach, and the wind blew it away, it's not considered that she did rikika. My tama, says the Gemara, because the yarka befana biman, it has to be done properly. Hilkach hu aruch, if the yavim is a tall individual, for he guts and she's short, for kaltasu aruach, and after she did the chalitza and she spit, the wind blew away the saliva. Ikka befanav, that's considered that she fulfilled the befonov. Because before it was blown away, she did a proper rikika. He aruch of hugutz, or if she is tall and he is short, then the halach is, if the ruach blew it away before it came in front of the yavam, then it's not a good chalitza. Why? Says the marbin and add the mud ilhad pe'api, the chalitza to be considered a valid chalitza has to be in front of his face, and only after it's in front of his face, then v'hada azal. Amr Rava, achla tuma, if a woman ate garlic, viraka, and then she spit, achla gagishta, or she ate certain earth, which was eaten for refuah as a remedy, but it causes saliva, viraka layasala klum. That is not considered a valid chalitza. My tama, ma'atzma b'inan. We need that the right, viraka ma'atzma b'inan, that the right should come naturally, and this is not the case here. Vrama rava. The Dayanim have to see the Reich that came out by itself. The Dayanim have to see the Reich coming out of the mouth of the Yavama. The Ksiv, L'Einei Zakenim. Here we see that, says Rabbi Yosef Engel, that the Gemara just taught us that if she spit, but she had just eaten food that causes saliva to form, then that's not considered a proper act of rakika. Says Rabbi Yosef Engel, here we see that an act that's done by oinus is not considered halachically a valid act. We learned with Nikra Shema B'Yisrael that Dayanim announced Beis Chalutza Nal, says the Gemara Mitzvah B'Dayanim V'Loi B'Talmidim, Tanya Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Pamach Sayinu Yishvim Lefnei Reb Tarfin, Obasu Yivam Alachlitz, V'Amaloi, and we told, we Amalonu, after the Chalitza was done, Anu Kolchem, everybody should announce Chalutza Nal, Chanutza Nal, Chalutza Nal. It should be announced three times. And the reason it's announced three times, that whenever we want to show that something really happened, by announcing it three times, that is clearly indication that it's publicized. That's why, similarly, when Beis Din is Mekadosh HaChodesh, they announce three times, Mekodosh, Mekodosh, Mekodosh. Here we learn that the act of chalitza is take primarily, as the word chalitza implies, taking off the shoe. So I saw a beautiful explanation from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal. What is pshat in the taking off the shoe and create in the situation of chalitza? So Rav Shlomo Zalman discusses that there are many people on Yom Kippur, on Tisha B'Av, when they say Birchas HaShachar, they do not say the Brach of Shlosli Kotzarki. Because they say Shlosli Kotzarki is only said when somebody is wearing shoes. And since on Yom Kippur, Tisha B'Av, we don't wear shoes, so it's inappropriate to say Shlosli Kotzarki. But of course the question is, why is wearing shoes a proof? What's the connection between wearing shoes and Shlosli Kotzarki? So Rav Shlomo Zalman explains, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that in the world there's a daimim, there are different levels. There's a daimim, which are inanimate objects, the ground, etc. There's the stones. Then there's a tzemeach, things that grow, fruits, vegetables, flowers. And then there's chai, that's animals. And then there's a medaber. The medaber is the human being who's able to speak. He says, and what happens in life is, what's supposed to happen, is that everybody goes up a madrega. The daimim becomes a tzemeach, and the tzemeach comes into the chai, and the chai comes into the medaber. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. And that's what happens when one wears shoes made out of leather. The leather, which is the chai, becomes part of the medaber. It's here to serve the medaber, the person who's able to speak. And when is that all done? And when is everything going as it's supposed to? When people are doing mitzvahs. In our Gemara, where a person is refusing to do a chalitza, what does that mean, that the person is refusing to do a chalitza? Refusing to do to do yibum. As we said earlier in our shir, yibum is the proper way, is the more preferable mitzvah. And the person who doesn't do the yibum is not doing the mitzvah. So what we're saying is, the lesson of wearing shoes is to teach us that we're taking the chai, the animal, the leather, and turning it into the medaber, serving the medaber when we wear shoes out of leather. But this person who refused to do the mitzvah is not following that prescription. If he's not following that prescription, he doesn't deserve to wear shoes.
And that's why the act of chalitza is done by taking off the shoe. Harun loch mitzvah chalitza, harun loch mitzvah chalitza, harun loch mitzvah chalitza.